Welcome to Culture, Talent, and Growth. Join Anish Shah and the Ruckus team as they invite dynamic leaders to share what they've learned about creating lasting culture, attracting great talent, and achieving sustainable growth. Let's get started.
Hi, Abby. It's great to connect with you. I'm so excited to dive in and hear a little bit more about your incredible experience at Patreon and beyond. So having worked with creators and influencers for what seems like your entire career, definitely at least a decade, what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in this industry over the last 10 years or so?
Yeah, it's a great question. And thanks for having me. A lot has changed. So I started working with creators back before anyone called it the creator economy. I was one of the first agents in Hollywood at William Morris Endeavor, now Endeavor, to start like representing these YouTube stars, Instagram stars, back then Vine stars, which should date me pretty effectively. And I think one of the biggest things that's changed the overall perception of value, you know, the question that I got the most when I was first starting to represent these creators is, well, that's great. They've got big followings, but do they make any money? And, you know, the answer then was not really, because no one really understood their power. It took brands and platforms and entertainment companies and media companies a long time, years, you know, 3 to 5 years to really realize the power and the influence that creators have with their audiences and in culture in general.
I mean, it seems like a lot of brands still haven't, right? You still get a lot of brands really undervaluing the work that's being done there.
Yeah, I would say that that is a generational problem. I think that the reality is the majority of these creators, digital native creators, their audiences are below the age of 35, maybe 40, right? And leadership at a lot of brands is still 40 to 60 plus. And so when they think about who celebrities are, who is influential, they're looking through their own lens. And so a lot of them don't know or track or follow these creators because they live in digital native spheres. And so as the ecosystem and industry has changed and as kind of the previous generation of leadership has started to retire and age out and a younger generation of leadership has started to step up, we're starting to see brands and other companies that partner with these creators, media companies and tech platforms, et cetera, start to shift their thinking, start to see the value and start to be willing to make the investments that are necessary now because that value has increased, right? When I started, it was unimaginable that a creator could make even a couple million dollars a year. Now we have creators that are making tens of millions of dollars a year. And some even making hundreds of millions of dollars.
No, that makes sense. I mean, and it's definitely gone from, if you're looking at like 2010, where social media and creators or influencers were at the time, to now it's definitely gone from being like the wild, wild west, new frontier to something where we have seen what works. And there is a lot of like best practices, which just didn't exist when you entered the space. But what about looking forward? What do you see as some of the biggest challenges that are facing creators in the years ahead?
Well, I think first of all, like mental health is a big problem. And I think this is true in the creator space and in the general population as well. But it's easy for a creator who's building an audience and growing their business, because that's what this is, right? All of these creators really are entrepreneurs, to look at other bigger creators and think to themselves, I've got to get there. And in doing that, that makes it hard for them to enjoy and value the success they're having now. Because let's face it, even having a small audience that's following you and passionate about you is success. That's a win. And so I think kind of this like grass is greener, you know, comparative feeling is going to be a challenge for a lot of creators to get over and get through. I think that saturation is going to end up being a problem. The more creators there, I mean, this is basic economics, right? Supply goes up, demand stays the same, and you know, the value goes down, or the amount of followers that any given creator could potentially get goes down. And that's, you see that happen in these like maturity cycles on social platforms where like now it's really hard to get a YouTube audience. A lot of creators start on TikTok where it's a little bit easier to get an audience. Eventually, TikTok will get oversaturated. It's supposedly already getting there, and it'll be harder to build a TikTok audience than what the next platform where you could be an early mover and build an audience. So I think that's also has historically been and will continue to be a challenge.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, the more people that are creators, the more people you have even like paying attention to their ratios in terms of followers following and being more cautious about the content that they're consuming or more intentional, I should say, which I imagine contributes to it being harder to build a real fan base as well. I mean, have you thought about how the metaverse plays into this as we're just kind of all existing in these digital spaces more and more?
I'm kind of a metaverse, I wouldn't say a metaverse skeptic, but I think that it's a buzzword that's overused and overhyped. And I think most people actually have a firm grasp on what it actually means. Like, I don't see the metaverse as, you know, VR or Ready Player One kind of a thing. I think we already have many metaverses, right? Fortnite is a metaverse and Roblox is a metaverse. And you could argue that many of the social media platforms are metaverses. Heck, even Snapchat could argue that all of the AR tech that they've built enables them to be their own sort of social metaverse where people are communicating with each other through chat that is augmented with AR tech. So I think that it's going to be something that's more pervasive in our lives, but not something that the average consumer thinks of as metaverse. Nobody that plays Roblox thinks of Roblox as a metaverse. They think of it as a game. People think of Snapchat as a chat app. So I think the concept of metaverse is very much like a Silicon Valley tech buzzword that doesn't necessarily translate to the mass market. But I think that creators are already there. They're not necessarily thinking about it as the metaverse, but there's a whole ecosystem of creators who make a lot of money producing content within Roblox or Fortnite or whatever it might be. And there's a whole ecosystem of creators who even are augmenting or making their own. On Patreon, we have a lot of creators who make mods for games, like Grand Theft Auto, which is its own metaverse. And these creators make a lot of money from people who want to customize or upgrade or enhance their experience of whatever game they're playing or metaverse they're in using that tech. And so I think it's going to be more persuasive. I think the definition of creator is going to change as well. I think like we're thinking about, or a lot of people think about creators as people who write or who take photos or who make videos. But as coding becomes more pervasive in the education system, as it becomes easier because of all these various tools and platforms that are being built, I think that we'll have more creators who are modifying and changing how people interact with these metaverses.
And that really, I mean, that takes me so seamlessly to my next question, because one of the things that like I think is so cool about Patreon is just the breadth and diversity of creators that you have on the platform. There's like podcasters and musicians and visual artists and like community builders, cool authors that I have on my bookshelf at home. And so I think with other, some of like the platforms that you might consider competition, they tend to be a little bit more niche. So when you're partnering with creators and helping them be successful on Patreon, what do you see as one of the biggest factors there?
I think the single biggest factor is how invested the creator is in building a membership. I think that it is much harder to get people to put their credit cards down than it is to get them to watch something for free or to read something for free.
Yep.
And so it's really easy to think, hey, I'm just going to put some stuff up and ask my fans and they're going to subscribe. And then to get discouraged, the creators who are the most successful, regardless of size, we have creators who have like 10,000, 20,000 fans who are making $10,000, $20,000 a month. And that's because they are very invested in understanding their audience, building the community, engaging with their fans, understanding what they want, and then giving it to them. And that takes time. It takes interaction, energy to produce content. It takes effort to think strategically about what's working and what's not. It takes sort of willingness to take risks in trying new things that your audience might be suggesting, even though you've never done it before.
Yeah. What I'm hearing is humility, which I think is like incredible. I need to be able to, I'm a marketer. So I think about like A/B testing and just, you know, like really being engaged or tapped into the way your audience is responding to you. But I think that I imagine that can be something for a lot of artists and creatives that can get in the way because you're really attached to what you want to produce, what you want to put out into the world. But yeah, making sure that you're actually listening to your audience and being willing to produce the things that are resonating with them. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah, it's got to be a two-way conversation. It's got to be something that the creator is invested in. And that, by the way, goes for everything, right? A brand campaign isn't going to be successful if the creator is not invested in making it successful. And so I think, like, in general, the advice for my advice for creators is to only do things that they are really willing to go all in on. And my advice to potential partners with creators is to only partner with creators who are really excited and interested in what you're doing.
Yeah. Do you think that as these spaces become more crowded and there's just more and more creators, that the standard of commitment becomes higher because the audience has become a little bit more discriminating, I guess, in the quality that they're expecting or the consistency that they're expecting?
I think it's a really good question. We don't know yet. I think it's very possible. I mean, look at Netflix's recent earnings performance. The market has gotten dramatically more competitive in the last 2 years. And as a result, you know, yes, Netflix has some of the best original program, but it's got a lot of filler too. So I think that's a really interesting point. I don't think we're there yet in the creator economy, but I think it goes to my point earlier about saturation being a risk down the road and being something that is going to be something creators need to navigate. I think creators will have to find a way to make a living or build a business with potentially fewer audiences because time is limited, right? Like, that's the limiting factor across everyone. Any given consumer can only consume media for a certain amount of hours a day. You know, it's like Reed Hastings said on an earnings call several years ago that Netflix doesn't compete with TV, it competes with Fortnite. And that's, I think, the way that creators have to think about it is like, what if your fan is going to spend time watching or reading or consuming something, how do I make it mine? And if they're going to spend their money on something, right? Which so we're always thinking about Patreon, it's membership. How do I make sure that that money is coming to me as the creator by offering real value?
Yeah. Okay. So as creators kind of like formalize themselves as businesses, right? I think we're seeing people really take control of building their own audiences and developing standards for brand partnerships where standards, right, did not exist when you entered the industry, which I think we talked about earlier. What advice do you have to the brands that are looking to establish lasting partnerships with really impactful creators?
Yeah, I think brands need to be less choosy. What I mean by that, I think I've worked on the brand side in the past. In my previous role, Wheelhouse, I helped build Wheelhouse Labs, which is their marketing division and works a lot with creators. And in previous roles before that, ran marketing for DM companies, et cetera. So one thing I've seen a lot with brands and many partners, this is also the case in entertainment, is sort of fixation on a single creator, right? The creative team brainstorms and they decide, oh, this is the creator we have to partner with. And that is then the path they go down, regardless of whether or not the creator is actually into it, regardless of whether or not the creator is willing to go all the way to deliver the value that the brand needs. And I have seen time and time again that when that connection isn't right, it doesn't work for anyone. The creator feels burned. The brand feels burned. There's a reason that a majority of creators don't have return business with brands. It's a problem.
Yeah.
And so the advice I always give creators is only work with brands and partners of any kind that you're excited to say you're working with. And if you're going to work with someone, go all in and make sure they get their value because you want them to come back. If you over-deliver, they're going to come back and give you more money, right? And I think likewise for brands, I think they need to be really thoughtful about who they work with, not just from a creative alignment perspective, but also from like a vetting perspective, from an understanding, is the creator actually into me as a brand, into my product, or are they just doing this for the money? Because if they're just doing it for the money, you are not going to get the value that you're looking for. That's going to take a lot longer from a process perspective. There's going to be creators that you can't get a meeting with ahead of making an offer, a firm offer, ahead of negotiating, closing an offer. And that might be, okay, you might just need to pass, right? Even if you love this creator, you love their content, you've always wanted to work with them as the brand manager or the influencer marketing exec, but it doesn't matter because if you make that deal and then you meet them and they're like not excited, they're just doing it for the money, you are screwed.
Yeah. I just had a conversation recently with a podcast marketing agency and they were talking, about the same thing and just how you can have a podcaster that you're really excited about working with for your brand, but they'll, record the 15-second clip and they don't care and their audience can tell they don't care versus the person with a way smaller following who's actually really passionate about the brand and will give you like an excited, energetic 30 seconds that will perform way better than anything, like regardless of how many streams it got,
The problem, to be honest, and I can say this, I was a talent agent for 6 years at the beginning of my career. Like, the problem is representation. It's the system that representation has built over the last several decades. It's this idea that in order to be in business with a creator, a celebrity, an influencer, you have to make the deal first. Can't even talk to the creator until you've made the deal. That's what a lot of representatives sort of push. And
yeah,
that is short-sighted and transactional, and it doesn't end up leading to long-term business. Now, there are certain talents where they have a reputation for being amazing to work with and for really leaning in, and they're only gonna make those partnerships with brands that they love because they can. But for 80 to 90% of talent, they're trying to make a living. They're trying to build their businesses. They're trying to, pay their mortgages. And so if their agent comes to them and says, hey, I just made a deal with this brand. They're offering you this much money. It's a lot of money. Do you want to do it? Most creators are going to say yes, if it's enough money to overcome their like lack of caring and at worst distaste for a brand.
Absolutely. And
that's the problem.
Yeah, no, I think that I'm a big podcast listener and I feel like once I've listened to one or two ads that feel half-hearted or like misaligned with the values of the person who's on the podcast, I'm going to skip the rest of your ads when I get on your show.
It's the thing in the podcast, because podcasts have ad networks. The ad networks sell the media to the brands and then just tell the podcaster, hey, this is the ad you're reading. And the podcaster says, okay, for the most part, unless they're like morally opposed. And so that's what happens. And that's not really good for anyone. It doesn't lead to a return business.
But yeah, when you are a little bit more discriminating or like intentional about the brand that you partner with, then I think our audience will often recognize that. And like for the ones that I trust, I'll tune in and listen and be like, I know she wouldn't be recommending this if she didn't actually like it.
That's so exactly right. It's better for the creator. It's better for the brands. Like I firmly believe that, partnerships require like mutual interest. And sometimes that means, most of the time, that probably means you should probably have a conversation before you make a deal.
Yeah, I hate to hear that that is how it is happening.
But that's the standard. That's just anyone who's worked with an agency, a management company, a podcast network. Mm-hmm. That's how it goes. And it's a challenge.
Okay, one last quick question for you. Do you have any advice for aspiring creators that are looking to build and connect with a new audience? And is it ever too early to start a Patreon?
I think that creators who are emerging should focus first and foremost on building an audience that cares.
Yeah.
What does that mean? So lots of creators are like, oh, I'm just going to go on TikTok and make videos. And if one of them goes viral, I've got an audience. Well, yeah, that's true. But the majority of that audience doesn't actually care about you. They found you on their For You page. They smash like or maybe follow, and now you're popping up the For You page more, but they're not going to your profile ever. They're not following you on other socials. They're not going to click through and buy when you sell them merch. They're just casual viewers on a platform that if the algorithm changes tomorrow, you're never going to get viewed by them again. That is not valuable. What's valuable is return audience who is passionate, who tell their friends about you, who engage with you, leave comments, send you messages, share. And so you can build that on TikTok. You can build that on any platform, but it requires investment not only in the content, but also in the community building. in interacting with the fans, in bringing the fans together, in building your brand as one where people rally around. And so I think my advice for most creators is to focus on that. And the money can come beyond that. Once you have an audience that is diehard, like, it's not hard to make them money. I do think it is sometimes too early to start a Patreon. I think that if you are still building an audience, like, Patreon is not a discovery platform or a monetization platform. We are great for creators who have a diehard audience and who are ready and have the bandwidth and the energy and the ability to then take that audience and deliver more to them and really start to monetize in a meaningful way. But if you don't really have an audience that you can move around, that you can convince to give you money, then you're not going to be successful. And so I don't want any creators to launch if they're not going to be successful. I want every creator that launches to have a meaningful impact on their lives.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. That was amazing. Thank you so much for all of your wisdom and insights. I feel like I learned a lot and I am so grateful for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Culture, Talent, and Growth. If you found value in this conversation, please leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with a friend. You can visit bringruckus.com for more ways to connect. And remember, new episodes come out on Tuesday.